Well, Carl Findlay heads the Maritime Union of New Zealand, Oranga Moana, and they're looking for a sustainable framework where marine activities generate economic value, actively restoring ecological and cultural social well-being through traditional principles like kaitiakitanga, and the importance of maritime trade routes around our country. Roughly 99.7% of our country's trade volume travels by sea, connecting local ports to global markets. And being isolated in the South Pacific means the country relies completely on container trips and cargo bulk carriers for essential imports, and also coastal shipping acts as a backup transport network, the blue economy, if you will. Carl Findlay is with us. Thanks for joining us, Carl. Tēnā koe.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks. We use the term the blue economy. With almost all of our country's international trade travelling by sea, why do you believe our blue economy is so important for the country's economic future? And how can we grow it, Carl, in a way that also embraces Oranga Moana and Kaitiakitanga, creating good jobs while protecting the health of the oceans? Talk with us about the maritime sector and how important the blue economy is to us all.
Yeah, great to be on here to talk about this, Dale. And once again, thanks for having us. As you pointed out, 99% of goods exported by sea, and almost 99% of imports coming by sea. And I mean, it seems to be overlooked all the time that we're an island nation, and we've just sort of accepted that we allow these international shippers to come wandering in here and out here and doing what they will. But we really need to get our own coastal shipping fleet back up and running, and New Zealand flagged, New Zealand run. An interesting thing with the elections, there was a lot of politicians making a lot of promises at the moment. There's not a lot of politicians actually talking about job creation. If we get a coastal shipping policy up and running, we will actually job, as you said earlier, we will create good jobs for New Zealanders, both on the sea and on the wharf. And environmentally, as you pointed out earlier too, it's a lot better for the environment than using trucks and a whole lot of other services to move our cargo around. So there's a whole lot to unpick in here. It's a massive, massive undertaking. We just really need someone to, some political party. And to be fair, they're all pretty interested in it. We just need someone to take the courage, take the step to get into this coastal shipping policy and push it through. And as I said, we just need someone to take the courage to make that step.
There are always environmental concerns, so we have to placate those as well. And a responsible blue highway, if you will, would factor in the need to protect the environment. Is that doable whilst also developing a fleet of New Zealand-owned coastal trading vessels? There aren't many now, are there, Carl? Most of the traffic seems to be from international organisations. But how might we also ensure that there's no major environmental side effects or downsides to developing a more sustainable blue highway or coastal shipping environment?
Well, the Maritime Union's answer to that's been put out to their politicians, and it's a hub-and-spoke model. There's deep-sea ports in New Zealand that can take all these bigger vessels that are forecast to come down this way. And the hub-and-spoke means that we should be able to have two or three, maybe four ports identified where these foreign vessels can come down here and drop everything off. And then with our New Zealand coastal fleet, we take it around the country and drop them off. There's 12 ports in the country. So everyone gets a piece of the action. And then environmentally, as you talked about this, funnily enough, we were down in Wilkeson yesterday at Ngāti Whiki. We were welcomed onto their marae. Had a wonderful day meeting and talking to Ngāti Whiki yesterday. And their biggest concern too is with the expansion. You would have heard about the expansion in Littleton. They've had little to no consultation whatsoever. They're running around the council. The guys that made the announcement are running around saying they've got a great relationship with them, and the truth of the matter is they don't. They agreed months and months ago, Ngāti Whiki agreed that they could expand by 15 acres, but the port company decided they want 32, and then they want to put on a breakwater, which is going to absolutely destroy what's left of the ecosystem in that beautiful bay down there. So we met together to discuss these things with them. But the two unions, the Maritime Union and the Rala Maritime Union, are working together to push back against the expansion. But my point about the hub and spoke is, if we get the hub and spoke model in and we choose 2 to 3 ports, maybe 4, then those ports, every other port in the country can stay in its existing footprint, and it doesn't need to expand out and blow out the local ecosystems, and it's way better for the environment.
That's a neat example too, and pleased that you've developed that relationship with Ngāti Whiki. Alistair's know that I was at Lyttelton some months ago for the 75th anniversary of the 51 lockout, which was an amazing experience. But soon after, we had this approach from DP World, and which was supported by some of the Rurunanga, it would seem, for the privatisation of the Lyttelton port. Ultimately, that didn't get the green light, and it remains a council-controlled environment on the wharf. But this is an example of international tunnel goals or pressure being applied on ports, not just in New Zealand, but around the world. How concerned should we be of overseas interests? I think this particular outfit, Carl, based in Dubai, that wanted effectively to own Lyttelton Port, and perhaps that was just the thin end of the wedge as they look to own more ports around New Zealand's coastlines. How significant a threat is that, and what would you say of the situation that we find ourselves in now, Carl?
Well, it's never going to stop. Well, we've known over a number of years. New Zealand is a little gold mine, isn't it? I mean, we produce enough food to, I believe the stat is, feed over, I think it's close to 50 million people around the world. We export everything we export, people want around the world. So it's and these key pieces of infrastructure like Lyttelton Port, Auckland Port, Tauranga Port, and everything, you know, like the Strait, Cook Strait, these foreign business owners will want it because it's a license to print money. Now, if they're run correctly, and if the business is run correctly and it's managed properly, and they're working with their unions in those areas, there's no reason why it can't be really profitable. And I think a great example of that is what's happening in Ports of Auckland right now. The Ports of Auckland working really well together. We've got a tripartite system there working with the union, the company and the council. We all work together, and we're returning, I think the last forecast was returned over $1 million a week to the people of Auckland. I believe the forecast for this upcoming one is we're going to do better than that, and that's everyone's happy, or as happy as they can be anyway, put it that way. But that's the model we need to work on, rather than selling off all of our assets to overseas. Honestly, DP World, they've got more money than New Zealanders can dream of. Why would we want to give a key asset to them? It's just madness. But it will never stop. We just need to be vigilant and keep pushing back any time we hear about it.
Tēnā koe. The Blue Highway, the focus of our conversation with Carl Findlay, who heads the Maritime Union of New Zealand. Carl, good talking with you. We'll chat again soon. Ngā mihi.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Tēnā koe. Ngā mihi.